Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Romans chapter 8, but not where you think. Well, you know, it's one of them things. You know, I can't go to Romans 8 without reading verse 8:28 and on, you know, because I love that. I remember reading that for the first time, and it's like, whoa, there, Walter, that's one of them places. It's just laid right out. Run one line, one precept right after the other, and it's all one salvation. But today, I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. My title today is Abba Father. But before I get into that, I do want to tell you something else that's kind of got stuck in my head. Faith is important. Faith in Christ is essential. Essential. However, and this goes along with what you preached this morning on TV, Walter, faith in Christ is not the cause of the believer's justification or regeneration. Not a bit. Faith in Christ is the result of the justification and regeneration of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is our righteousness. He's our justification. And the Holy Spirit himself regenerates the dead alien sinner and gives him and her both life and faith. Because our faith in Christ is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith of God's elect is the result of his workmanship. Because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And believe it or not, faith in Christ Jesus, that's a good work. That's a great work. I don't want to preach the faith of a believer. I want to preach the author and the finisher of faith, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for, to preach the just God and the Savior, the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. I just wanted to say it's been in my head. And then when you said this morning, Walter, it's just kind of fit right in there with it. Because see, all this goes on, and the world doesn't know anything about it. Religion knows anything about it. I really don't like the word religion. Somebody asks, do I have religion? No. I have Christ. And more importantly, he's got me. And I believe him. Now, if you want to call that religion, I guess I got religion. But when most people say, oh, he got religion, they just mean he started going to church and trying to behave. And that's not what we're talking about here at all, although you ought to behave. Romans 8:14. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? There's only one way now that you can be led by the Spirit of God. That's from within. It's from within. From the inside. In verses 10 and 11 of Romans chapter 8, it tells us, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Not your righteousness, His. But, oh my, what a righteousness. But, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, what? Dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit, what? That dwells in you. Oh my. If Christ be in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. And if the Holy Spirit be in you, Christ is in you. These three are one. A lot of people seem to want to leave out the Holy Spirit most of the time, and I can understand part of the reason why, because the Pentecostals have just about ruined the Holy Spirit for anybody. Or actually, their lies about the Holy Spirit have ruined it for everybody. But if Christ be in you, the Holy Spirit is in you because of Christ's righteousness. Because of His work, because of His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension, because it is because of Himself that His people are led by the Spirit. In you. Now, I'm going to be clear. Mostly, I'm going to be talking to believers now today. But don't feel left out. Because if this scripture can get a hold of you, the truth of God in Christ is here. But next verse goes on, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, let's be clear. The spirit of bondage to fear comes from the same one who sends the spirit of adoption. Walter, I remember you talking about what people call a law work. No, it's the work of God. It's not a law work. That's what people call it, and I know what they mean.
Sure.
And they explain it correctly. But it's not a law work. It's not the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But you understand, that law was there the whole time when I didn't believe Christ. When I wasn't coming, even. Or interested in coming. It's the work of God through the Holy Spirit that brings this spirit of bondage unto fear. And it also comes first. You understand? The spirit of bondage to fear comes before, and I'm going to tell you this, in every single child of God. Every time. Comes first, then the spirit of adoption comes. It's not the other way around. What's it say in the Old Testament constantly? Especially in the Psalms and the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of two things. Two different things. It's the beginning of knowledge and it's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is. The spirit of bondage to fear and the spirit of adoption, both of them are real and both of them are necessary. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this either today. But I do want to emphasize this, because I think too many people now think they are saved, but they've never been shown they were lost. I heard Henry saying that on tape 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Earl used to say. They come down, Earl's talking, they come down the aisle smiling and popping their bubble gum. They don't know anything about the spirit of bondage unto fear. And therefore, I can tell you this, if they don't know anything about the spirit of bondage, if they don't know anything about the fear of the Lord, the fear of their own sinfulness standing before God, they don't know the spirit of adoption. Because these two are sequential. It's a good word. One follows the other, not the opposite way around. What's the declaration of the Apostle Paul about those who don't know Christ? He's it in this book, Romans. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Because the disease has got to be known before there can be a cure. You're not going to want a cure if you don't know you're sick. You're not going to want life unless you find out that you're dead in trespasses and in sins. And that's enough about that, because I got to get to this. Abba, Father. Abba. Now, the word Abba is derived from the word Ab, A-B. And believe it or not, the Hebrew word is derived from the Chaldean word, from the Chaldees. And I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, what in the world are they borrowing from that? Then I remember, oh yeah, Abram. Abram come out of the Ur of the Chaldees. So guess what? Some words got imported. Some words were kept. And I'm glad they did, because this is a good word. The word Ab, A-B, that word means father. That's what it means. And more. And more. In the Hebrew, it denotes the Lord of the household. In Hebrew, it denotes the head of the family. Understand, in those days, you know, well, Abram went around with what? Lot? His nephew. But Abram was the Ab. There could be two or three generations. You could have children and grandchildren all in that same, maybe not even the same tent, but in that same area, that same holding, that same ranch, as they'd call it today. But there's only one Ab. There's only one Ab. And that was his title. And Abba is a familiarized derivation of the word Ab. That's where it comes from. It's a familiar name for this head of the family. Now, let me reemphasize that. Abba is a family name. It's a family name. And if you really want it, Ab is a family name, and Abba may even be more of a family name. Servants, even bond slaves, they didn't use this term. They're not part of the family. Even if it's a bond slave, they're not part of the family. They'd call him master. They might call him Lord. Doesn't matter. Ab and Abba are family names used only by those related to the Abba. And it could be younger siblings, his own brothers and sisters. It was used by sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters. It's a family title for that particular family. It was also used by those who were related to the Abba, and this is important, by marriage. By marriage. Sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, they would call the leader, the head of the family, Abba or Ab. Because this is a name that the family calls the Father, the one Father. Now, when I started looking at this the other day, I thought of this, and I kind of put it all together in my head. When I was a teenager, a long time ago, in a state far, far away, I decided, for some reason, and I'm not exactly sure, to start calling my earthly father Pop. That's what I called him. And I called him that until he died. Not Pops now, mind you, because Pops was what juvenile delinquents called old people they didn't know. I seen those movies, I seen those TVs. I had to actually explain that to my mother when I started calling him Pop. I said, no, it's not Pops, it's Pop, you know. Because Pops was considered kind of an insult, you know. And I was not sneering, and I was not trying to be disrespectful. I might have been trying to be overly familiar, but he got used to it. That's what I called him. That's what I talked to him. I used it constantly for decades. Now, part of this could be related to the fact that my sisters would call him Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And now, there's nothing wrong with calling him Daddy. It's just the annoying tone of voice that my sisters had when they wanted something, okay? I think that might have had some reason to it, that I didn't want to use that same word. Why? Because I was honoring at the time. Not that I am now, of course. But this was just my name for my father. It's between, and actually, I used it constantly, seriously, until he died, you know, 10 years ago. When I talked with him, I called him Pop. Hey, Pop, how you doing? How's everything going, Pop? You know, you arrest anybody interesting lately? My dad was a deputy sheriff. And trust me, if he had minded, he would have told me. You know, my father wasn't shy about stuff like that. Now, when I met Deborah, okay, and we started talking about our families, and we found out interesting things and some things not so interesting, you know, about family. That her aunt at one time actually had dated one of my uncles. And it's like, whoa, you know. Wouldn't have made any difference, but still, it's just, you know, really small world thing. But I told her of my parents. When I told her my parents, I called Mom and Pop. That's what I called Dad. I mean, it's what I called my father. Now, when Deb first met my father, she didn't call him that. I'm not sure, but I figure she called him Mr. Galuzik to start with, because my wife has manners. She really does. But as she came to know him, and as she came to like him, when we talked, her and I together at the house, she called him Pop also. She started to call him Pop because that we were talking about the same person. Eventually, I can't say when it started, but Debbie started calling him Pop when she talked to him. And he never said a word, didn't mind at all. I didn't realize at the time, really, that she had started doing it, or when she started doing it. It didn't register. Or if it did, I forgot about it. Because it was normal for me. I think of him as Pop, and that's who he was, and that's where he was, and when we went and saw him, that's who she talked to, and that's what she called him. I think she spoke to him as easily and happily as she conversed with her own father. And one day, I heard something that really pleased me and made me smile. One day. Now, Deb wasn't there at the time. She was off just a little ways. But Dad was talking to somebody else, one of his friends, and he said, oh yeah, that's Debbie. And he said this. He said, my daughter. He didn't say my daughter-in-law. He said, my daughter. And that did. That made me smile. It did. And I knew he meant it. I already knew that he liked her more than me, mostly. Because my wife is a lot more likable than I am. And Pop and I had a lot more history than him and Debbie had. And Pop knew she had put up with me for years and was still with me. He also knew she was smart, she was strong, and she loved his son. And she still does. And I also knew this. My father, Pop, would take her into the house, into his home, probably before he would take me back. For whatever reason, or for no reason. Because I got another smile one day when Debbie was standing there and my father introduced her to somebody else as his daughter. And it made her smile. Debbie heard with her own ears Pop introduce her as his daughter. And on the way home, I told her, I told you so. Because I told her he'd been doing this. You know, it's all right. Sometimes my wife doesn't believe me, okay? I can live with that. I'd been telling her for years that she had been accepted in the family. And I think she did sort of believe me. But I'm going to tell you something. It is so much better when you would hear Pop tell you or introduce you as his family, as his daughter. It was so much better for her to hear it from Pop personally. Because here's the thing about my family, okay? If Pop accepted you, you were accepted. You are accepted if my father accepted you. Now, granted, while she was alive, same was true of my mom. If my mom accepted you, it didn't matter what anybody said. The father, though, the Ab of my family, accepted her and told her so. And she could go to Pop for help anytime, and if he could, he'd help her. And that's what Abba, Father, means to me. And even better now, because our Heavenly Father, he helps me before I know I need help. And he helps every one of his children before they know they need help. But there's only one overriding reason why. My father loved my wife because she is a sweet, wonderful woman. I can say this about her because she's not here right now. But this is the thing. Our Heavenly Father will help us and loves us not because of ourselves, but because of his son. And because his son, Jesus Christ, loves us. All of believers are his bride. We have been accepted in the family of God. And that's what this means. Now, I'm not telling you to call God Pop. But Abba, that's a good word. That's a good word. Father's a good word. Our Lord Jesus Christ told us, when you pray, pray on this wise. Now, don't repeat after me. Don't make it a rote prayer, because he talks about that right after or right before that. They think they're going to be here for much speaking, but he says, start this way. Our Father. Now, understand, he wasn't saying, everybody say it together, our Father. He was saying, our Father is Christ and yours. Christ and mine. That's our Father. We have the same Father as our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. I like that. And when Walter has talked about it, and I've talked about it, Paul's talked about it, this is the family of God. What's that mean? We all have the same Father. We have the same Ab. He's the head of the household. Jesus Christ is called what? The head of the church. And the church is his body. Do you think his Father's going to reject any part of the Son's body? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Christ's body is not going to be maimed in any way. It's not going to be short a toe or a finger or the tip of your nose. That's crap. Pardon my language. It's a lie. It's a lie. He will not lose anything that his Father gave to him. Because his Father gave him us. His Father gave him his bride. His Father loves us in his Son. And we are God's family, married to his Son. To his Son. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not that we're going to be. We are now. We are now. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified. What? Together. What? With him. With him. The spirit of the Ab bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is not the only time Paul used this. You want to look at Galatians chapter 4. Excuse me. Verse 4, chapter 4 of Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Walter, you said it this morning, to redeem.